Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. While deaths from COVID-19 have been trending downward in Illinois, public health experts say until a vaccine is developed, the virus is likely to be part of our lives for a long time. And a key aspect of tracing the virus and preventing future outbreaks is through large-scale testing. Now, a team of researchers at Northwestern is testing for the coronavirus by looking down into Chicago's sewers and has received a grant through the National Science Foundation for their research. Chemistry and biological engineering professor Julius Lux leads that team and joins us now. Professor Lux, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having us.
I'd also like to welcome Halid Alem. He's president of STEMLOOP Incorporated, a startup he co-founded with Professor Lux. They're developing environmental COVID-19 testing kits. Halid Alem, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us.
And if you are out there and you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you have a question for our guests, please give us a call, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Professor Lux, I'd like to begin with you. In a Chicago Tribune article by Michael Hawthorne about your initiative, he had a quote from a microbiologist who said, "Looking in the sewer is like looking in the mirror of society." Do you think of sewers as mirrors of our society?
You know, I read that quote, and it actually dawned on me that that was a pretty elegant way of bringing to light something that we typically don't think about, I would say most of us. But if you think about it, what's in a sewer, it's pretty complicated. There's obviously things that are coming out of our bodies. There are other sources of wastewater that are coming down there that are eventually going to be purified by reclamation districts. And because there's so many different input streams, there's actually lots of ways that different contaminants, either that pass through our bodies or in our environment, can show up in those streams. So for example, talking about, you know, there's been a lot of interest in whether we can monitor our use of medicines, antibiotics, pharmaceuticals that by and large pass through our bodies and into these wastewater streams. There's also pesticides that can show up from, you know, environmental agriculture and things like that in these waste streams. And then I think most recently, some preliminary evidence that even the coronavirus from infected patients and people is showing up in these waste streams.
So let's talk about specifically about the coronavirus. How exactly are you testing for COVID-19 in wastewater?
Yeah, so our approach, so first of all, I should say, we are trying to develop scalable and rapid tests to be able to monitor for the presence of coronavirus in wastewater and environmental samples in general. And we're developing these tests alongside the science that is developing. So there's still a lot to be learned about what does it mean for a specific viral load or number of viruses that you might detect in a given wastewater sample. What does that mean about how many people might be infected or carriers of the virus? So we're trying to develop these tests alongside the science so that once we know, you know, what those numbers mean, we can start to really scale out testing. Now, our approach is pretty unique. And in fact, it's using biological systems to track biology itself. So if you look around us and you look down, the world is full of microbes, bacteria and yeasts and other organisms that themselves are constantly monitoring their own environments. Some of the same things that are toxic to us are toxic to them. And they actually have little molecular machines called biosensors inside of them. And what these biosensors do is they recognize these toxins and they enable cells to respond to them. For example, they might now create an enzyme that can chew the toxin up. What we've done at Northwestern in the Center for Synthetic Biology is figure out how we can repurpose these biosensors, essentially take them out of the cells and put them in a test tube, and then have these biosensors produce a visual signal when a specific toxin is present. For example, maybe a tube glows green because it fluoresces. And so what we're doing is we've in the past been using that approach to detect things like chemical toxins, you know, heavy metals like lead, arsenic, cadmium, and so on and so forth, and pesticides, pharmaceutical products. And now we're turning our attention to being able to detect the viral genome of the coronavirus.
I love that visual image there of somebody leaning into a manhole and coming up with a test tube that's glowing. It's like straight out of CSI or something. And you know, I want to begin to drill into that process. So, Khalid, can you tell me where are you collecting these sewage samples from?
Yeah, so we're working with sort of a lot of the local reclamation districts here. We're sort of actively forging partnerships with them for them to collect samples and provide it to us. I think one thing that we have to work on, not only at STEMLOOP, but as a scientific community, is developing a standardized workflow for actually how these tests are performed. So there's a lot of work that's coming out from Europe. There was a really great study from Yale that was published a couple of weeks ago. But everybody's doing this slightly differently. So one of the things that we're going to focus on at STEMLOOP is to create a standardized workflow so that, you know, when the city of Chicago collects data, it can be compared to, New Haven, Connecticut, or it can be compared to Boston or San Francisco or any of these other communities.
And so when you're actually, what are we talking about doing the test? Can you describe this for me? Are people going out with crowbars or some sort of hook tool to remove the manhole cover? What is the actual process like as opposed to traditional lab testing?
Yeah, so certainly one way is to actually go into the manhole and collect a sample of raw sewage water. Another approach that's being taken is at the wastewater facilities themselves. So you're collecting something that's known as primary sludge. And, you know, these are the sewage is piped. So you basically just tap into the pipe and pull a sample. Once you have that, though, you have a very complex environmental sample. It's got all sorts of things inside of it. And so the next step that you have to do is you basically want to isolate the viral RNA. And there's a lot of complicated science that has to happen there. But basically, you're doing this subtractive process where you're filtering all the solids out. And then you typically have a number of steps that isolate the viral RNA or just all of the RNA in the sample in general before you can do the actual test.
Okay, I'm just sort of marveling at all the terms, filtering the solids out and primary sludge and water reclamation, the sort of dancing around what this really involves in terms of the testing.
It's, you know, we're sifting for gold here.
Professor Lux, can you tell me why did you seek this grant from the National Science Foundation for this research?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, when coronavirus hit, it caused many of us to be taken off guard. And a lot of us were thinking, okay, you know, how can we do our part to help? Our previous work on some of the chemical contaminant water monitoring, you know, we were extremely excited about. And before coronavirus hit, we're honestly going after water quality issues from a global health perspective. And so we saw a unique opportunity to turn our attention towards the coronavirus problems, and especially with respect to this environmental monitoring. I think a lot of the focus has been on clinical testing, and rightly so. That's where, you know, things are greatly impacted. A lot of people have got great ideas going after how to make clinical tests cheaper, faster, maybe even an at-home type test. And we want to take that same vision and put it towards environmental monitoring because it does give another very important source of information. You know, if you look back, and there's a great history of this. For example, environmental wastewater monitoring was part of the solution for polio eradication, being able to monitor for that virus in these wastewater streams. Most recently, it's been used to investigate, the opioid epidemic. So opioids can show up in wastewater streams and so on and so forth. And so if we could only harness that information for coronavirus, maybe that would give us new strategies to combating this, early indications that an outbreak was happening in a region, and then you could go and do, you know, more in-depth clinical testing there. So we saw that as an opportunity that not many people were focusing on, and so we have been going after this as fast as possible.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. We're talking about a different way of testing for the coronavirus. We're speaking with researchers who are actually testing sewage instead of individual people in order to trace the virus. We're joined by Julius Lux, professor in the Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering at Northwestern, and Khalid Alam, who is co-founder of STEMLOOP, which is developing environmental testing kits for COVID-19. And Khaled, I want to sort of piggyback off what we were just hearing there about this kind of environmental testing and, you know, getting the grant from the National Science Foundation. Can you talk about, you know, would this sort of widespread testing for this disease be possible had there not been the coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of this is basic microbiology and, you know, techniques that have existed for a while. So just like Julius had mentioned, people have been doing what's called wastewater-based epidemiology to monitor the eradication of the polio virus. So, you know, one way you can imagine is testing everybody in a community, but polio virus disproportionately affects communities that don't have resources. And so the best way to monitor whether or not eradication strategies are working is therefore to test wastewater. Similarly with the opioid epidemic, you're probably not going to get people willingly testing themselves regularly, especially if it's an invasive technique like a blood draw for opioids. And so you have to come up with strategies that can capture what's happening at a community level. And wastewater is just one of the strategies that we can use for that.
And Professor Lux, I wonder if you can talk about the advantage of this kind of testing. We just heard that, you know, some communities don't have the resources to do widespread testing of individuals. But are there the ways that this is more predictive than the nasal swab tests, and just in terms of the efficacy of the actual or the antibody tests that we've been hearing so much about that look for, you know, look at people's blood to see if they've been exposed to the virus in the past. Does this allow for better prediction than those tests do?
So that's a great question. I think there's a couple of ways that this is promising, I would say. First of all, in terms of kind of early indication, I think, again, we need a little bit more science before we can definitively know how early this type of monitoring can really provide an indication. But from what we've seen and what's coming out, studies coming out, we're looking like seeing spikes in wastewater up to 1 week before you start to see spikes in the clinical tests. And as we've seen already, a 1 week timeline can make a huge difference. It can make the difference between, you know, needing to do large scale lockdowns versus some isolated quarantines. And that really totally changed the way that we deal with this virus. But we still need more information there. I think there's another key advantage of what we're trying to do, which is we really want this test to be as simple as possible, not use a lot of expensive laboratory equipment, and take some of the logistical challenges out of the equation of what's hampered some of the clinical testing so far. So we want people to be able to do this on site. And that's important not only for the community perspective, but when you think about business reopening, this might be a way for businesses or large office buildings, factories, and so on and so forth, to get a sense of how their workforce is being affected by the virus and giving them extra information about how to manage that workforce. So by focusing on tests that are simple as possible, we really think we might be able to provide new types of information to people.
And I wonder what do you do with this information? And maybe I think a related question is how fine-grained can you get? I mean, if you're going from manhole cover to manhole cover, can you say, okay, this block, there seems to be a significant outbreak in this block, or is it by neighborhood, or is it just by city and region and you know, reclamation district-wide that you get these indications?
It's a great question, and I think it's about how you apply the test and who's doing the test. Obviously, the more water streams coming into a specific testing location, you're going to lose the resolution or kind of lose a little bit of information there. But if we can get these tests to be easy enough, we're hopeful that you can do large-scale testing at pretty high resolution, you know, down to the individual building level, in which case you get information about the people in that building. You're not going to be able to get down to the single individual, and that's why we still need the clinical testing aspect to be a part of the total solution here.
And we've got just about a minute left, but Khaled, I wanted to ask you about where you see this technology going in the future. I mean, you mentioned that there's already this sort of wastewater-based epidemiology happening. What's it going to take to sort of scale this up to get people to start doing this more broadly?
Yeah, so I think in the short term, I think there's a very obvious need in terms of as we work through this pandemic, keeping our economy open and doing that in a safe way that's protecting, you know, essential workers, frontline workers, as well as people that are starting to return to the office. So we need these solutions now, and we're likely going to need this for the next couple of years. Longer term, you know, I think what we really need is just better preparedness, and wastewater testing is one way for us to do that. So there's no telling when the next, you know, pandemic virus is going to hit. And, you know, as we've seen over the past few months, the earlier we can get information, the more we can prepare, the more we can staff clinics with additional beds, with additional ventilators, or whatever is needed for that particular pathogen. So moving forward, I think there's going to be a heightened bio-awareness, which is going to be more in tune with what's happening and spreading in our communities. And we're going to need new tools and sensors to really enable proactive response.
Khalid Alam is president and co-founder of StemLoop, Inc. And we've also been speaking with Julius Lux, who's a professor of chemical and biological engineering at Northwestern University. Both of you, thank you so much for joining us here on the 21st.
Thanks for having us.
It was our pleasure.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.